You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's hour two on this Tuesday. Can't wait to get started. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Boys are here, ready to go. Spend some time with Patrick Ewing as he reminisced about the passing of his former coach, the great John Thompson. Coming up a little bit later on, we'll check in with my Miami Heat, the Heat with the win last night over the Milwaukee Bucks. Thunder beat the Rockets, now tied at three games apiece. And we were just talking prior to coming on the air. Paulie said, if you're the Lakers, who do you want? Do you want the Thunder or the Rockets? I don't know what the answer is because I don't know what I'm going to expect or what I'm going to get with the Rockets. I know what I'm going to get with Oklahoma City, but I don't know what I'm going to get with the Rockets. If you get the Rockets that we saw last night where Russell Westbrook is basically being begged to shoot, then I would like to play that team if you're able to do that. And the defensive philosophy with Oklahoma City, they've done a good job with James Harden. As good as you can do. But Russell Westbrook coming back, I was surprised that he got that many minutes and he got quality minutes at the end of the game because he's coming back after that injury, and now you're going to throw him in the middle of this series. You had a game to play with. You don't want to go to a game seven, but you had a game to play with there. I want Westbrook healthy. I don't want him healthy-ish. And last night, had turnover, had an air ball, and he cost him. He was a detriment last night. And now with a game seven, and an Oklahoma City team that is gaining confidence with every single game, and Chris Paul has been the best player on the floor so far in this series. But if I'm the Lakers, I guess I want Oklahoma City because I think we're better than them. I think their ceiling is not as good as what the Rockets' ceiling would be. Yes, McLevin.
Aren't you really scared of that small ball lineup taking you out of your game? Like you can't play JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard, who are actually, I know you're probably laughing out there, but they're really effective. Like you have to change your whole thing.
Yeah. I mean,
that would scare me if
yes,
I'm the Lakers.
But I don't. Their ceiling is higher than Oklahoma City's. But these two teams have the same record. They're 44-28. It's just they do it differently. We tune in to see the Rockets. You're not tuning in to see Oklahoma City unless they're the opponent of somebody you're tuning in to see. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DPShow. Say good morning to our TV partner, of course, Peacock, and our great radio affiliates around the country. There was a story. I can't even say it was a story. It was just sort of speculation yesterday. Mike Tannenbaum used to work in the front office of a couple of NFL teams. And he said the following yesterday on the mothership. There's a lot of speculation in the league that Dabo Swinney, who's been on the short list of multiple head coaching searches, could be a coach that teams want to talk about. And this would really be the perfect storm. Well, the perfect storm, because if Jacksonville is the team that we think they are, they'll end up with the number one overall pick. Dabo just signed a 10-year, $93 million deal with Clemson in April of 2019. But there is a buyout if he leaves college for the pros. Although, you know what? On second thought, what I found out, if he leaves for a college job, there's a buyout. There is no buyout if he leaves for an NFL job. Planning ahead, question mark? Tannenbaum believes Dabo Swinney landing in Jacksonville makes a lot of sense, as Tannenbaum says he's immensely popular in that area of the country. If he could go with Trevor Lawrence from Clemson right down the road to Jacksonville with all those picks and all that cap room, that's an ideal situation. I know in talking to a number of NFL GMs, they see Dabo Swinney in the same mold of a Pete Carroll. High-energy guy. If Swinney would ever go, this is the perfect storm to do it the following season. Now, this is just speculation on Mike Tannenbaum's part. I asked a source about Dabo Swinney going to the NFL. And the response I got was he would not be the right guy in the NFL because he is a recruiter. He's not an X's and O's guy. He's great at recruiting. But as far as X's and O's, that's not his strong suit. Now, you might say, is that what Pete Carroll is? That he was a great recruiter at USC, was a strong X's and O's guy. It worked out pretty well in Seattle. But if, like, what I want out of Dabo Swinney is that ability to be able to recruit these players. You know, as far as game planning, I can have an offensive coordinator, a quarterback's coach, who can help. But going to Jacksonville, you know, going with Trevor Lawrence, I get it, but, like, what is the upside? The only upside is that you prove you can win a championship, a Super Bowl in the NFL. That's it. But that's a big upside with a team like Jacksonville, because he's winning national championships at Clemson. He's getting paid handsomely at Clemson. You have a great gig at Clemson. You're in the ACC. You're basically in the ACC title game every single year. And then you go into the Final Four every year. And even leaving to go to Alabama, to me, wouldn't be a smart move. If you said go to Jacksonville or Alabama, I would stay at Clemson. I don't want to follow Nick Saban, even though that you're going to your alma mater. You have created something at Clemson. You don't want to recreate something at Alabama or keep something going. And Jacksonville, if you want to go with Trevor Lawrence, okay. But that just feels like Steve Spurrier all over again with the Washington Redskins. Yeah, Paul.
But you look at a guy like Dabo, he's 50. He's not, you know, 62. He's not Nick Saban's age. When Nick Saban was 50, he took the Miami job in that realm. Yeah. If you look back at Jimmy Johnson at Miami, he could have cruised at Miami forever. Miami Hurricanes.
Yeah, but he got to coach the Cowboys, and he was coaching with his, at the time, good buddy Jerry Jones.
I totally agree. That's the big difference, is Jacksonville is nowhere near the Cowboys in stature.
Yeah, if you're taking a job, like Lincoln Riley leaving Oklahoma, and if he could have gone to the Cowboys, I would have went, take it. But if you can't get it, then stay at Oklahoma.
But I wonder if Dabo thinks there's no downside, because I know if 3 years later, Jim Harbaugh got the Michigan job. You know, those guys, South Carolina is not the biggest job in the world, but, you know, Steve Spurrier had almost any job he wanted when he went back.
Yeah, see.
Yeah, how often do people accomplish, like, all the things they want to do and then say, okay, I'm done at an early age? Do you usually try to reinvent yourself or keep doing it, or do it at a different level? You know, you can win a college, you could build a great program in college football and win a national championship, and all right, let's try and do it at the next level then. You know, people get restless like that.
But is it just based off Trevor Lawrence going to Jacksonville? Because if it is that really about your goals? Because you're only going because Trevor Lawrence is going there. It's not that you're going to go someplace just to take a job in the NFL. This is geographically specific and draft pick specific.
Well, right. I don't think that necessarily you throw yourself at any job that becomes available, but if there's a really good one that makes sense for you and you're setting up all of these different parameters for your success and the team's success, then yeah, why not take that job?
Oh, you know, it's up. Obviously, it's whatever he sees, you know, that motivates him, or, you know, he wants to add to his scrapbook. But I think what I've been around this too long to know. Yeah, we all want to prove that we can coach at the next level. You know, I go back to a lot of the great coaches that stayed. You know, Coach K could have taken the Lakers job. Joe Paterno could have had jobs in the NFL, didn't take them. John Wooden stayed at UCLA. Like, there are certain coaches where they just stay, this is what they do, and they do well. It's up to the individual. I understand that. I just don't know the upside for Dabo Swinney, other than if you do get something special and you play for a championship, you know, more power to you. But the odds of that are really, really, really long. Yeah, see.
It seems like the more modern-day coach jumps around more.
Yes.
You know? Yep. I mean, I don't know how many Coach K's there are left in the world. Like, when you can get that bigger job, you're probably going to take it.
Well, you had loyalty back then. And loyalty, a two-way street with the coach and the school. You don't have that anymore. It's like, hey, we haven't been to the Final Four in, like, I don't know, 3 years. That's an eternity. We're going to get rid of you. It's different. And you're right. Because, you know, Coach Wooden, when he started out, wasn't dominating. And they probably could have gotten rid of him. You know, Coach K, when he started out, wasn't the Coach K that we know. You know, a lot of these coaches start out at these schools because they are teams that are in need of a great coach and an overhaul. Yeah, McLovin.
Do you think it's fair to say that college football, even if you win all these titles, you're going to be perceived that you had the better team, that you're a better recruiter, where you get more technical credit like Belichick for winning in the NFL?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a valid point. No matter how great Nick Saban is, he couldn't do it in the NFL. no matter how great Steve Spurrier was, he couldn't do it in the NFL. That's the knock. Jimmy Johnson was great in both. When he left, well, he was forced to leave the Cowboys. He would have, Barry Switzer came in and, you know, basically cherry-picked a championship there. Because Jimmy would have won another one there. But, yeah, I understand that. You know, where you want to say, look at what I did at the highest level. But I do think there is something to be said for what these coaches do with college football. You know, you're fortunate that if I recruit you, I have you for 3 years. I mean, that's a real luxury with college football. And if you get it, like Trevor Lawrence, you know, in another sport would be already playing professionally. But he had to stay around for another year. And to have that luxury there, I mean, go ahead, McClellan.
Well, how come Urban Meyer never tried it? What, I mean, I know you know a lot about this. Was that health stuff?
I think that had a lot to do with it.
He's got a lot of technical, like, pizzazz. People say he's a great technical coach.
I just don't know if he was wired to do that. Because he was rumored for, you know, a few NFL jobs. The Cleveland Browns, whenever the job came open, which felt like it was every other year, his name came up. I just think health-wise, I don't think he was wired to do that. Yeah, Paulie.
By the way, Jimmy Johnson, the former coach, he has his boat that we always see him on. The title of his boat is, the name of his boat is Three Rings.
Mm.
Two in the pros, one in college. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Johnson was a national champion in college as a player, too, in 1964.
Yeah, Arkansas with Jerry Jones. Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk, just tweeted, teams that would immediately upgrade their running back position by claiming Leonard Fournette. Steelers, Dolphins, Chargers, Bears, Bucks, Washington, and the Eagles. Upgrade right off the bat, according to Chris Sims. That's a lot of teams there. But Jacksonville couldn't get anything for him, and he wanted out of Jacksonville. So basically, just let him walk. A couple of phone calls. We came up with a poll question.
Yeah, least buzzworthy team. So the choices are the Jags, Jets, Titans, Rams, Chargers as one team, Bears, Colts, and Washington. Paulie's Bears, least buzzworthy team.
We did it.
You won. You won.
Big win.
We're the most boring team in the NFL.
There you go.
But Paulie said, you know, the Bears, would they even make the list? Like, they're not even interesting enough to make the least interesting list here in our poll question. Paul in Iowa joins us. Hi, Paul. What do you have for me today?
Hey, DP. 5'11", 170. So you guys forgot the least interesting team, which is not surprising because it's the least interesting. But who cares what happens in Lions practice this year? Honestly, the Bears brought in Nick Foles, and you think that's less interesting than the Lions?
Well, I think the Lions are interesting because of the following, Paul. Thank you for the phone call. Matthew Stafford, to me, is not going to end his career in Detroit. And I think he's one of those late in his career pickups that maybe you can, you know, play for a Super Bowl or go deep into the playoffs. You have Matt Patricia, who's on his last year in Detroit, I'm going to guess. And then you could have a whole new coaching change going in there. Now, because of that, I would put them above the Chicago Bears. The Lions are boring, but at least you have a storyline with a... Remember, they were going to take Tua. They really weighed taking Tua in the draft. And I'm told this from a reliable source who said, but they were worried because Matt Patricia, his job is on the line. And if you bring in Tua and you don't draft somebody who can help the team now, Matt Patricia doesn't get the benefit of the doubt. At least that's what I was told. And that's why they passed up on Tua. Because I thought if you could trade Matthew Stafford and bring in Tua and bide a little bit of time, then maybe you have your quarterback for the next decade. But they decided not to roll the dice. And as a result, they're going to have to sink or swim with Matthew Stafford. Yes, McLovin.
Them and Washington, the only two teams without primetime games. They got Thanksgiving, but they don't get a night game.
Yes, Paulie.
A lot of people in the media like the Lions this year because the first half of last season, they were very competitive. Matt Stafford was killing it until he got hurt. So first 2 months of last season is where the Lions buzz is based on.
Carolina has a primetime game on a Thursday night. The Texans have a primetime game. Well, they have a couple of them. Oh, no, that's the Lions. I'm sorry. So the Lions have a primetime game against the Texans.
No, that's Thanksgiving. And that's a little confusing.
Okay.
Yeah.
That doesn't count.
Well, I kind of do. I don't know. Remember, did you guys count that when you were at NBC? Is that a prime time window?
Well, it's at 12:30. So I guess it's prime time because you get a lot of eyeballs on it. The Colts have a Thursday night game against the Titans.
That's weird. Thursday night, Colts, Titans. You never saw that coming.
Color Rush, Jags against the Dolphins Thursday night.
Like the Colts' Color Rush uniforms are just a brighter version of white.
September 24th, Jags, Dolphins Thursday night. The Dolphins and the Jags, that's Thursday night. Wait a minute here.
That's just...
Oh, same thing. I'm sorry. I'm like, wait a minute. They got two of them on the same day. Washington has no primetime games in 2020.
Yeah, how is that possible? Washington's like one of the proudest franchises.
You know what? If I'm the commissioner, I say, hey, no nickname, no primetime game. Hey, no new owner, no primetime game. Katie in Chicago joins us. Then we'll take a break. Good morning, Katie. What is on your mind?
Good morning, Dan and the Danettes. How are you all?
Great.
First time, long time. I wanted to weigh in a little bit on why Fritzy cannot find an onion bagel, and it is because there has been an onion recall.
Okay. Now, why were the onions recalled, Katie?
I Googled it. It says Thompson International Inc. was identified as a supplier of onions linked to this outbreak and issued a recall of red, yellow, white, and sweet yellow onions. So we'll have to do a little more reading to find out exactly what's going on there.
Wait, there are no onion bagels in America, Katie. Is that what you're saying?
Well, and a friend of mine was out with her mother the other day looking for a can of onion soup for her mom's favorite recipe, and she couldn't find a can of onion soup anywhere. They went to three different grocery stores.
All right. Well, thank you, Katie, for that update. Yes, Paulie?
Yeah, that's confirmed, Dan, by the CDC. There was a salmonella outbreak due to onions during the summer, and it's affected a lot of onion-related products. Mm. And they said that businesses that buy onion-related products are cutting back because the price is higher, there's less supply, there's danger. Mm. So for the near future, onions are going to be hard to get.
Yes, Seton O'Connor.
So I wonder if that's one of those things where if you're buying your onions from a huge supplier, it's really going to affect you. But like a smaller business who's not a chain store probably has tons of onions on stock because they get them from different places.
Todd?
I'm getting a little concerned because a few days ago in our local supermarket, we were able to get a pack of onion bagels, not as good as the fresh ones you would get at a bagel store. So I hope, I don't know what, if it's just a delayed process in my system that I ate something that I shouldn't have, but they do have onion bagels. And it also doesn't speak to the tuna fish being stopped at the bagel.
This has really touched a nerve with America that you couldn't get an onion bagel last
week. Rightfully so. I appreciate the support.
Yeah. They are with you 100%. That they understand the pain and suffering you went through when you could not get that.
And they're going to find something wrong with the poppy and sesame seeds the next thing we know, and they're going to shut down the bagel stores altogether.
But then you try to order a chicken bagel.
I didn't. They just happened to tell me. I said, what's going on? Is this pandemic related? I was being sarcastic because I was really upset that they're not making onion bagels, and what's with the tuna? And they said, yeah, no more tuna, no more onion bagels, and no more chicken. I don't know the last person that ordered like a
did
bagel
you,
with
did
chicken on it.
Did you at least apologize to the high school girl that you berated when you're going through the drive-thru?
I didn't. I was just in a bad way, and I kind of made like an eye signal towards the manager. Like, you know, I know it's more your manager that I need to speak with about that. But
how do you get in a bad way when they don't have an onion bagel?
I said, I'd like an onion bagel. We don't have onion bagels. Okay, I'll have a garlic. We don't have, I'm sorry, no garlic.
But
I'll have a tuna on. Oh, no, we don't make tuna anymore.
But this was you were in a bad way, Todd.
I was. I drove off in a huff, and I was sweaty and pale and angry. And I may have gone a few miles over the speed limit down the local street. I think it was like 35, and I was easily at 39, flirting with 40 miles an hour.
In a bad way.
I was in a bad way. I just couldn't get the bagel I was really looking forward to.
Can you imagine?
Mumbling to myself. If someone was looking in the car.
You mumble constantly.
It was like even worse.
If the police,
like all day,
if the police pulled you over, you would have said, look, officer, I'm in a bad way. Oh, what happened, sir? I couldn't get an onion bagel. Okay, I'm going to let you go.
At least it's original.
I couldn't get an onion bagel, and then they didn't have tuna fish, and then they didn't have garlic.
And chicken. And then poppy seed.
Hopefully the officer would be so shocked by giving that kind of story that they'd say, you know what, this person's got all kinds of issues. The last thing he needs, I don't want to set him off with actually handing him
a chicken. In a bad way.
How could they not have? I wish if there was a little microphone attached to me on the ride home. This is possible.
And then you were talking to yourself out loud?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break here. We'll come back. I'm going to talk about San Diego Padres.
Sweating profusely.
Oh, I know. But you're always sweating.
I am.
Yeah.
I'm a bit overweight and I get hot.
I'm in a bad way. I'm in a bad way. If there's somebody out there who has onion bagels, if they could help us, please. Avoid this crisis.
Don't do this. We'll have 1,800 of them in the back room.
No. If they could steer us to where we could get those. I don't need them sent. Just steer us so I can avoid this crisis. Yes, Eden.
Maybe we should start manufacturing Fritzy's onion bagels. It's the only flavor bagel that we make.
Hmm.
Onion bagels. Are there rules about making food? I bet there are. I bet that's complicated.
Yeah.
Fritzy's onion. I bet that's complicated.
I would think so.
Sometimes you have a craving for something. I really wanted an onion bagel with cream cheese. I didn't mean for it to be such a big deal, but obviously I made it so.
But you're in a bad way.
In a bad way. You would think like someone ran over my cat or something. I was just so upset.
Like something really serious happened. You got in a bad way when you couldn't get a bagel.
You have to wonder what actual feelings that Todd was really upset about was being channeled through this onion bagel. Mm. Not to play armchair psychologist.
Oh, no, we can't.
I don't really think he was all that upset about the onion bagel. I think that all of his upset feelings about something else were being funneled through this bagel.
It's very possible. And there was no suggestion box there where I could have told him, hey, you know, let's get these onion bagels back on track.
Nothing. We're going to take a break here. We'll come back. It's 22 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show. Football season is less than 2 weeks away. The reigning champ set to take the field kicking off the season. No better place to get in on all the action than at DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. To celebrate week one of the football season, DraftKings is putting you in the center of all the action with two shots at $1 million top prize. Get in on the action now. Make it rain with DraftKings. It's easy. Draft your team. Stay under the salary cap. Pile up points for yards, touchdowns, and so much more. With all the cash up for grabs, no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings. Download the top-rated DraftKings app now. Use the promo code SQUAD. Get a free shot at $1 million top prize. And for a limited time, get your share of $100 million in prizes once you enter DraftKings' free survivor pool. Promo code SQUAD. Get in on all the action for a limited time only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Other terms and conditions and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. There have been a lot of unexpected sports headlines this year, but this is one of the stranger ones. The San Diego Padres are all in. They think they can win the World Series. How often have we said that? Padres added Mike Clevinger. He's a starting pitcher, a reliever, Trevor Rosenthal, and a couple extra bats during prior to the trade deadline. And the Padres haven't been in the postseason since 2006. They've been in the World Series twice. They lost to the Tigers in 84. They were swept by the Yankees in 98. None of that history matters in 2020. In a short season with strange rules and a wide open field, 16 teams are going to make the playoffs. In baseball, once you get in, all bets are off. So it might be weird saying the Padres are contenders, but they are. Young stars like Fernando Tatis, Manny Machado, this might not be a fluke here. If you were considering jumping on the Padres bandwagon before the trade deadline, you might have missed your window here because it's getting more crowded by the day. Now, they have been dealing a lot of players. They dealt two of their top 15 prospects, but right now, 20-15, third best record in the National League. And you get Clevinger and Rosenthal, that's going to help you. Moreland from the Red Sox here. I went back and I was trying to figure out how the Padres got Fernando Tatis Jr. They traded James Shields to the White Sox, I believe. And they got the rights to Fernando Tatis Jr. That's going to be one of those deals that we look back on and go, oops. It's like Doyle Alexander and John Smoltz. The Braves dealt Doyle Alexander the Tigers, and the Braves got John Smoltz. Yes, Paul.
I was watching MLB Network, and they said the Padres, it seems like they traded their entire farm system, but based off the baseball rankings, They didn't trade any of the top 10 players in their farm system during this mass trade.
They made six deals with five teams involving 23 players and three players to be named later. I love it. They're all in. Yes, McLevin.
I have one of those bad trades, by the way, as a Phillies fan. You could probably guess. Paulie knows this one.
Is this Ryan Sandberg?
Yes.
Ivan De Jesus?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Does every team have one of those? Or?
I think so. Either really good or really bad. Because you can look back and, you know, when you look back on sports history, on deals that were made or not made that really helped a team, or draft picks that were made or not made that really helped or hurt a team. And it feels like every team has that moment where they ripped off somebody, but then they got ripped off as well. And I'm sure this audience is going to remind us of, you know, some of those other deals. Wasn't Rick Sutcliffe traded for Joe Carter?
With Cleveland or something?
Yeah, I think so. I know that Ricky Henderson was involved in deals. Wasn't he involved in a deal that sent Jeff Kent to the Mets from Toronto? And Jeff Kent's a borderline Hall of Famer. Ricky obviously already, you know, he is a Hall of Famer. But there's so many of those deals where you're always looking for the guy who helps you now, and then you trade away your future. And then that future comes back to haunt you. Mike in Wisconsin joins us. Hey, Mike, what do you have for me today?
Hey, 6'7", 260.
All right.
Dan, I'm in a bad way, man.
Uh-oh.
I'm driving my U-Haul, and I'm moving my little girl into college.
Are you going to college right now?
Yep.
How emotional are you?
I'm pretty emotional.
Okay. How can I help you?
I don't know. How do I let her go?
Well, you're not letting her go. Your daughter will always be with you. Daughters never leave you, Mike. They never leave you. Okay?
Yep.
Is she there with you?
She's not.
Okay, okay.
She's in her car.
Okay, this is...
What's my thoughts?
Now, you have to be positive. You have to let her know you trust her and have confidence with her. And you can always call me no matter what the issue is, and I'll come see you, or call me on the phone. Like, you must let her feel good about this, not that she's going to feel sad. She'll feel sad. But your job, and as hard as it's going to be, is, and I've done this three times with three daughters, man, it's tough when you drop them off that freshman year, you take them to the dorm, and then you walk back to your car. That's a hell of a long walk there, Mike. So, got to be positive, and you got to let her know you're so proud of her, that she is going to school, she worked hard to get there, and you can't wait to come back on Parents Weekend or whenever she wants to come back. You know, that was my advice to me.
Okay. Thank you.
But hang in there. How much more driving do you have?
About another 2 hours, 2.5. I'm just leaving Milwaukee and headed up to Stevens Point.
Okay. All right. Well, if you're going to cry, cry now. And get it out.
I got you guys on the iHeartRadio app, so I'm...
Well, I could always have Todd talk a lot, and then that'll make you feel better about yourself.
The onion story just cracks me up every time, so thank you for that.
Good luck, Mike, okay?
Thanks, Dan. I appreciate it.
Okay. Yeah. You guys haven't experienced that where you're dropping off a daughter. Woo! You know, your son you look at differently. You know, it was like, all right, my son was ready, and my wife couldn't wait to get him out of the car. She always says if she could have kept the car moving, she would have done that to drop him off. We were less emotional with my son. But when I took my daughter, my oldest daughter, to school, even now, it's emotional. Because you're seeing your little girl, and then you're dropping her off at college. And then the next one, 2 years later, I did it. And then the 2 years after that. And it got a little easier. But, man, just it hits you of how quick. Everybody tells you this when you have kids. Oh, it's going to go by so quickly. But when you have kids, it doesn't go by quickly. You're like, this is forever. And then it goes by quickly. And the next thing you know, they're saying, hey, I'm looking at schools. Oh, okay. And then it hits you when you take them to school. And then that's when the wave of emotions hits you. And you're like, oh, my God, it just blew by. Now she's growing into a woman. Whew. All right, let me take a break. I don't want to get emotional. Yes, McLeod.
You're going to be great at your daughter's wedding. Just great. It's going to be a killer speech.
I got three of them that I have to go through. And I've already told them, if you want to elope, I'm okay with it. Like, as long as I don't have to give that speech. And I think what will happen is I might have my son or my nephew deliver the speech as if he was delivering it in my words. But I'll stand there. I just don't know if I could get through. I mean, I got to walk my daughters down the aisle. I don't know if I can get through that. That would be a mess. Like, I can't. I'll be a wreck. I might have to go to a therapist or a psychologist, like somebody who can hype me up, and might have to bring him to the wedding. I mean, I need to have somebody who's like, you got to be tough, man. You got to get out there. You can't cry, you big baby. Come on, let's go. Like, I'm going to need, like, one of those coaches. Yes, McLeod.
People are going to be like, why is Trevor Moat standing next to Dan?
Why is Russell Wilson's, motivational coach out here? I'm going to need that. And I was wondering if there was some kind of medication I could take, like beta blockers or something that would just, or maybe just beer, you know, where I just go, I'm going to have a beer.
You should just accept that you're a crier.
I have.
You're a crier.
I am. But that doesn't mean, like, I don't want to be an emotional boob. And that's what I'm really worried about. It's okay if I'm sniffling or like, now the women are going to love it. I mean, obviously, they're going to fall in love with me. They're going to go, oh my God. Can I pre-tape my speeches? Could I do that?
Yeah, we could get a sponsor, like, you know, AutoZone or, you know, Home Depot. You could get a little sponsor mention.
Yeah, but I'm thinking maybe I pre-tape and then I just I mouth it.
And you just do one speech that's perfect and we'll fill in the name of the next daughter. Yeah. Just plug it in.
Yeah.
Hello, Grace. Welcome to your wedding. I'm Dan Patrick and this is Above the Noise. Very proud of you today on your big day.
Yeah. AutoZone brings you the... Yeah, I'm. There's not at least a week that comes up, goes by that I don't think about when my daughters get married and what that must be like. And if you're a young father out there and you're probably going, I'm, you know, knee deep in diapers and this is, oh, you know, when's this going to end? And man, when it ends, it hits you so hard, you don't even see it coming. All right, we'll take a break. More phone calls coming up. We'll check in with my Miami Heat, one of my good friends, used to work at the mothership with me, Jason Jackson. Love him. He's been covering the Heat for, I think, over 15 years, and he is a ball of fun. We'll get his thoughts on the Miami Heat. Take a break. Back after this on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. Patriots season opener 13 days away, yet the identity of their next starting quarterback remains unknown. Officially, that is. Bill Belichick said yesterday, I don't know, when asked to name his week one starter, when we're ready to do it, I'll do it. Okay. I'm guessing he's been gushing all over Cam Newton. He's widely expected to be named the team starter in the coming days. But I don't know if, you know, Belichick doesn't have to tell anybody until he officially has to turn in his lineup there. Yeah, McLovin.
If he went Brian Hoyer, how great, it would be classic Belichick.
That'd be so disappointing if he did that. Like, so, I want to see Cam Newton. That's the only thing interesting with the Patriots this year is Cam Newton. And just the fact that everything we're going to attach to their success, his success, and then the Buccaneers with Tom Brady. Like, those are parallel storylines that we're going to be following here. And they're probably both going to end up with 9 wins. But I think that that makes them very interesting, in my opinion. The least interesting team right now, according to our poll, is?
Actually, the Jaguars just overtook the Bears. And I didn't put the Lions on that because Paulie's right. There's some media love for the Lions. They spent so much on that defense. They sign everybody every year.
I know, but they're not interesting.
And they're not good.
And they let their best defensive back go. He went to Seattle. Right?
Darius Slay?
Yeah. Or did he go to
Philly, I think.
Okay.
No, somewhere. Let me double check that.
Okay. Yes, Paul.
And the reason the LA Rams are on the list isn't because they stink. They were 9-7 last year, but it feels like we got burned by them with the Super Bowl, the kind of no show in the Super Bowl, and then they regressed last year. People are off that bandwagon.
But also you have Seattle's more interesting and the Niners are more interesting. The Niners have that feeling of not making the playoffs. Like you're just
hot.
This happens when teams lose the Super Bowl. You've had some injuries there. This is a team that was leading in the fourth quarter against the Kansas City Chiefs. 6 minutes to go. It happens and you go, there's no way the Niners with all that talent would not make the playoffs. But this does happen. It happens to talented teams where you don't make the playoffs. And if San Francisco falls into, you know, that long list of teams that make the Super Bowl, lose the Super Bowl, and then don't make the playoffs the next year, I would be modestly surprised. All right, couple of phone calls. Let me see. Mike in New Jersey. Hi, Mike. What do you have for me today?
Hey, Dan. How you doing?
Good, sir.
Let's see. 59205.
Okay.
You know, you were talking about trades where somebody benefited. I mentioned it to the guy who answered the phone. Pedro Martinez for Delino DeShields.
Yeah. That turned out to be pretty good. Delino DeShields was a really good player. And we didn't know what we had with Pedro. Wasn't it Pedro and Ramon Martinez? But Pedro turned out... I think Pedro Martinez is one of the more underrated pitchers in the history of the game. Because when I look at his stats, now we used to look at Sandy Koufax and say that six-year window, whatever it was, that's as good a six-year window as you could have. Pedro was just as dominating 7 years in the American League East against a designated hitter in the steroid era. He had ERAs in the ones. And as much as I loved watching Koufax, and it felt like he could throw a no-hitter every single game, Pedro was just as good. And I know that may sound blasphemous to say in Los Angeles. Pedro Martinez was, he dominated. And a slight guy, but, you know, you're in the East. And that, you were facing really good teams. And he was doing it against the DH in the steroid era. Remarkable. Yeah, Paul.
If you go back, Pedro Martinez won the Cy Young with Montreal at age 25. He was just hitting his prime, and they realized they couldn't afford him. They couldn't afford to keep him. And then he went to Boston and won two Cy Youngs the next 3 years.
Yeah, pretty amazing. I love those Montreal Expos teams. I wish we still had that team up there instead of the Miami Marlins. Yeah, McLovin.
I'm Googling bad trades through time.
Yeah.
How about this? The Celtics trade the number one pick that Joe Barry Carroll for and ended up getting Parrish and McHale back.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I mentioned that before.
Did? I just pull Todd?
No, I mentioned it when I said if Red Auerbach, like if Jerry West would ever call me and I was a GM, then I wouldn't take his call. And if Red Auerbach called, I wouldn't take his call. And then I brought up that he got Robert Parrish and Kevin McHale in a deal for the rights to Joe Barry Carroll. Yes, Todd.
Yeah, it's not the same. I like to mention it when it was just said seconds ago.
Yeah. No, you've done that before. But no, you're good today. Mike Piazza, Todd Zeal for Bobby Bonilla and Gary Sheffield. Let me see what else do I have. Yeah, Pedro for Delino DeShields. Yeah, there's a lot of bad trades. Well, it turns out good trades for other teams, though. But, yeah. Let me see. Brad in North Carolina. Hi, Brad. What do you have for me today?
Hey, DP.
Hey, bud.
I just wanted to weigh in on the Dabo conversation.
Yep.
Man, he'd be crazy to ever leave Clemson. I mean, I love love to troll my Clemson buddies and tell them when Saban retires that he's going to Alabama. But I don't believe that for a second. I mean, as a North Carolina fan, I'm jealous of what they have, especially knowing we have adequate resources to do the same thing. And, you know, Max recruiting for us now, but Dabo is not going anywhere.
I don't think so, but look, I don't know how he's wired. Yeah, he may say, look, I've done all I can do here, and unless I get the Alabama job, then, you know, maybe I'll try the NFL. By habit, coaches move. You know, they don't stay. Now they feel like they got to move, got to keep moving, got to keep moving. It's rare when they go, you know what? I finally found my coaching resting spot. Yes.
But in almost every other career that we have, right, you sort of jump around the up and up and up the sort of food chain until you get to that highest point that you can get to, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Why is it for college coaches that it's so unacceptable to do the same?
It's not. I just don't think it's smart.
Like, perception-wise, it's seen as not okay for some reason.
Well, they're all control freaks. And then you go into the NFL, and the players are more valuable, paid more than you are, and you don't have that control. And I think that's the eye-opener for a lot of these coaches. They go in there and like, hey, I'm a genius. All right. Got to deal with salary cap. Got to deal with star players. You got egos. You got an owner who might, you know, say you got a three-year window here. Yeah, there's just a lot more there. With college, you can control all of those things. Mark in Ohio. Hey, Mark, what do you have for me?
Hi, Dan. How are you?
Good, sir.
First time, long time. 5'8", 165. So, you have three daughters.
Yep.
My daughter's getting married in less than 2 weeks. And when that guy got on the phone and said, my little girl, I about started bawling at my desk. I've been thinking about this speech now for probably 5 months. And I just keep jotting things down on a label and put it in my wallet. And I'm thinking, there's no way this has got to come from the heart. I cannot pull out anything. It's got to come from the heart. And I just keep going back and forth. Got to keep it in order. Can't keep it long.
Yeah.
And man, oh man, you'll see. It's going to be intense. And it's-
oh, I already know that, Mark. But I will say this. Brevity is your friend. At any speech, and beer, any speech you give at a wedding, brevity is your friend. Because people are drinking, and they all think they're funny, and they're not. But the less you say, the better. And trust me, this is the best advice that I've ever given in life. Speak less. Brevity. Say wonderful things about your daughter, her husband, the in-laws, so proud, so happy, joyous day, but brevity is your friend. More marriage advice coming up next hour.